With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Loneliness is considered a public health issue. There is growing evidence it's associated with the onset of depression and other common mental health problems. Art Start in Rhinelander has been working to address these mental health issues through various public art initiatives as part of One Nation, One Project. The 18 cities involved in One Nation, One Project will be hosting events July 17th. Art Start Community and Cultural Development Director Melinda Child says it's inspired by the Federal Theater Project in the 1930s.
It was a number of different communities all over the country staged the same production of a play, but of course each community had a different flavor to it. And so one of the lead artists of ANOP was really inspired by that, and that's kind of how they led with bringing all of our cohort cities together, like from the very beginning saying on this day we're all going to do something. And every community has a little different focus. Ours is mental wellness and social isolation.
The event includes a pop-up skate park, March Against Social Isolation, a community meal, and performances. That's also when the Together sculpture will be unveiled. It's a mirrored bench that used bone conduction technology for people to hear the voices of their community members. Witsia Soko is one of the artists working on the sculpture.
We really wanted it to be a place where people gathered, where people could talk about these issues of mental health. And so you can use it as a bench for sure, but you can also lean your head back and touch your head on the bench and you'll hear the thoughts of people in the community about connecting with people they've lost connection with. And hopefully it will spark a conversation with the person that you're sitting next to.
The sculpture will have a permanent home in the pavilion above the beach house at Hodag Park. That's also where the Push Against Loneliness event will be on July 27th. The 39th Phillips Czechoslovakian Community Festival kicks off today and goes on tomorrow in Phillips, Wisconsin. WXPR's Hannah Davis-Reed talked to festival organizers for a preview.
Phillips, Wisconsin has a strong connection to Lidice, a small Czech town around 12 miles from Prague. In June 1942, German forces razed Lidice, massacring many of its residents as an act of revenge for the assassination of a prominent Nazi official. The remaining survivors fled, and a number of them ended up in Phillips. Wisconsin was the top state for Czech immigration between 1860 and 1880, so some people from Lidice had friends and family connections to our area. In 1944, people in Phillips erected a monument in honor of those who passed in Lidice during the attacks. It's in Sokol Park, and every year, the Phillips Czechoslovakian Community Festival starts with a memorial service in which they walked the monument. The memorial service begins today at 7 p.m. in Phillips First Baptist Church, and there'll be a speech from Dr. Cecilia Rokacek, CEO of the National Czech-Slovak Museum and Library in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Then tomorrow, the festival will open at 10 a.m. in Elk Lake Park with free admission. Arts, crafts, and food vendors will stay open until 4 p.m., and there'll be historical displays, activities for children, and even a beer garden with Czech beer and regional wine. During the Miss Czech Slovak Wisconsin State Queen pageant, young women of Czech, Slovak, Moravian, Russian, and/or Silesian descent compete for the state title. They'll model kroje, traditional folk dresses worn by men and women, commonly called a costume, that families pass down from generation to generation. Jody Katalicek is the chairwoman of the festival.
And having the pageant, that was one of the things of trying to add that element of passing on the traditions, the food, maybe some of the stories. So in order to pass those on, you got to pass them on to the younger people.
She says you won't want to miss out on the homemade winemaking contest or the kolachki, a traditional pastry homemade baking contest, both of which start at 10:30 a.m. For WXPR News, I'm Hannah Davis-Reed.
Officials from the Biden administration announced new funding during a visit to central Wisconsin. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra and others were in central Wisconsin to talk about accessing quality health care no matter where you live. They started with a Q&A session with health care providers at the Rothschild Pavilion, where they announced that the HHS department would be giving an additional $11 million to fund rural communities expanding residency programs for health care providers. Becerra said it's important to keep quality health care workers where they're needed most.
We know that if you start your residency program as a newly minted physician in a particular location, by the time you finish that residency program in 2, 3, 4 years, chances are you're going to stay in that community.
The group then traveled to Mid-State Simulation Center at Aspirus Riverview Hospital to see the next generation of Wisconsin's healthcare workers getting some practice. White House Domestic Policy Director Neera Tanden said centers like this will help provide a path to a good-paying job without the expenses of a college degree.
We want to ensure that people have opportunities for middle-class jobs, good-paying jobs, with multiple pathways to get there.
They also talked about the Biden administration's investments in mental health. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. Local election administrators have new guidance from Wisconsin's highest court on alternative early voting sites. A political expert says the timing is important for the battleground state ahead of the 2024 presidential election. Mike Moen has more.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court issued a ruling this week that bans the use of mobile voting sites. That outcome is seen as a victory for conservatives challenging such options. But separately, the court kept in place rules that allow clerks to choose other alternative sites for absentee voting. University of Wisconsin political science professor Barry Burden says that means these officials will still have flexibility as they sort out logistics.
They face a lot of difficulties trying to find sites that are available. You know, they're often repurposing a church or a school or a community building.
With the Supreme Court pausing a lower court's ruling that heavily restricted these other sites, Burton says clerks won't have added confusion as they meet deadlines for this year's election. The case has to do with the interpretation of state law that prohibits alternative sites from being set up in areas that could give one political party an advantage over another. I'm Mike Moen.
For WXBR News, I'm John Burton reporting.